Hi, everyone. Welcome to Mama Wears Athleisure. I am your host, Mariela De Santiago, a first-time mom. We focus on all things mom with tips to help make life easier and more organized for all you mamas out there. Hey there, mamas. Before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to remind you to check out part one of our Love After Baby series if you haven't done so already. So go ahead, give it a listen, then come back for more. Happy listening.
There's also really fun parts of each stage, and it's really amazing to experience it. No matter how many kids you have, every first of every stage is so amazing, and it's still adorable, even though you've seen it happen before. Each kid is their unique person. So there's all these things, but there you have these stressors, you're going to have these withdrawals. So you need to be intentional to make these deposits, because when you're having stressors, you're also going to have less organic deposits because you are, you know, not at your baseline of functioning is lower than it would be if you weren't having more challenges or stressors or more responsibilities. So when your baseline is lowered, you're not having these deposits in the same way when you have spontaneous connection. So you have to be more intentional about deposits. And deposits can be anything, right? It could be smiling at each other. It could be giving the person eye contact when they talk to you. It could be looking up from your phone when they walk in the room instead of continuing to scroll. On that note, I've been seeing this new thing on people sharing this idea. And I'm like, I need to share this too, because it's so relevant, that we touch our phones more than we touch our partners. And that's like a sad truth. So we touch our phones more than we touch our kids. It's in our hands. Naturally, that makes sense. But like, be intentional about also showing that touch and care to the people who you love, even if it's just a hug or a little peck on the cheek. Being intentional about these little deposits, communicating in a healthy way, giving them a compliment, appreciation and admiration are huge in a relationship. Those are the antidotes to contempt, which is another way to say resentment. So if you are feeling resentful in your relationship, what I tell a couple to do is open a shared note on your phone and every day write down one thing that you appreciate or admire about your partner. And then they do the same for you. And then you both get to, it's mutually beneficial, because when you stop for a second to think about it, you start viewing them more positively. And so you feel better about them. And then when you read the thing they wrote about you, you feel appreciated and seen, and it encourages both of you to then do more positive things for each other because you're feeling appreciated and seen. And you're also thinking about each other more positively. So you want to do more for each other. It can really transform a relationship when we start to have that appreciation and admiration element.
Those are great ideas. That it's something so simple. I mean, everything always takes time. And as a mom, it's hard to even find the time to do something that's so minimal. But I do love that idea that it's something like you could do it while your toddler sits on the potty and you have to wait there for 30 minutes anyway.
You could do it while you're sitting on the potty if you need to.
There you go. Because I think everyone has their phones in there, right?
Yes.
Oh, goodness. Next one is, how can couples prepare before the baby comes? So I think this one is like really important. It's a last minute thing, right? You're thinking baby registry and the nursery, but you don't think about how like your relationship is really going to change.
Yeah. So having some conversations about that and being ready for it is going to prepare you so much. And like, just knowing, I have a niece who just became a mom. And so clearly she knows what I do. And she said, like, in a way, like knowing certain things is really helpful, because when you know to expect certain changes or you're prepared for a certain thing happening, you're able to respond to it differently. I've had moms who feel like, is there something wrong with us? Are we broken? Did something change? Are we just not happy together? And when you're more prepared and you know it's a situational thing that so many people experience, and you know that there are all these changes, you are able to navigate it so differently and respond to it so differently. So you're not getting upset at each other. You're not starting to doubt your relationship. You're more are in a frame of mind. You're like, oh, these are the hard parts that we heard about. And they're right. It's hard. And we're going to get over it. We have some tools to work through it if they're learning these tools. So there's mentally having a different mindset towards these things that are going to happen. and being more prepared for certain things happening. Because no matter how prepared you are, there's going to be a night where the baby is just really difficult and just doesn't sleep. And then you're not going to have any sleep. And then you're going to be really frustrated and you might be snappy, but then your partner like knows it's not you. It's the sleep deprivation. And then you can apologize. And that is going to play out so differently than if you didn't have that awareness that that's going to happen. And then one of you says something snappy when you're tired and the other one starts snapping back. And then in the morning, you're just both angry at each other and neither one of you wants to apologize for it because you both are upset at each other. So there's repair. Apology is a part of repair, and repair is so important in relationships. Healthy relationships are not void of conflict. Every single relationship has some level of conflict at some point because you're two individuals who are creating a life together, and you're not always going to see eye to eye on every single thing. And everything is not always going to be absolutely perfect and go according to plan. So there is going to inevitably be conflict that comes up. Obviously, there's different levels of conflict, different types of conflict. So the goal is that you are able to catch it and repair from it as soon as you can, and also not brush things under the rug. Conflict is an opportunity to have a deeper understanding of your partner and know what's important to them, what hurts them, what they need, what they want. If you're having conflict, that means that there is a desire or need not being met right now. Is it the person not feeling respected? Is it the person not feeling cared for? Is it the person not feeling like something that's important to them is a priority to you? There's these different elements that play into conflict that if we have an open, honest, vulnerable conversation about it, we can learn something new about each other or understand something about each other that we might not have understood as much before. Especially when we have kids, one of the ways relationships change is suddenly there's a new dynamic. You're playing a new role in your relationship that you never played before. Before, you were just your partner's partner. You weren't a mom. You weren't a dad. So you're not going to have certain dynamics playing out that are now going to play out. And so you're viewing each other in these new lights. And then certain things come out in you that you might not have expected. Some of us turn into our parents. Some of us do the opposite of what our parents did because we didn't like what they did. But either way, we do something that might be aligned with what our partner wants to do or how they want to raise a family, or it might not be aligned. And then you're going to have a discussion about why is this important to you and why does it matter to you? And you're going to have a new understanding of like, oh, this is important because my dad did this, or my dad didn't do this, or my mom did this, or my mom didn't do that. And now suddenly you know a new thing about them. You're building what's called your love map, your understanding and ideas about this person who you're in a relationship with. And we're constantly learning new things about each other, right? Even if it's like something that happened to them when they were in elementary school. In the course of our lives together, we don't just like press a play button where they saw everything that happened in our lives from the moment we were born till we met them. So obviously we end up talking about the big things, and also some little stories come up. But no matter how long you're together, you're always going to keep learning things about each other and things that happen to each other and things that are important to each other. And you want to be aligned and be in a place of understanding. And ideally you are in that place. And then new things will just keep coming up because that's the way life is. Life is not static. It's not stagnant. So it's really important to be in tune to each other and be open to being vulnerable and be open to having conversations and making sure to connect and give the person that time to hear them out and hear what's important. But back to that question, where we were saying about things they can do to prepare. So communicating and preparing for what's to change. And then also, I always encourage couples who are pregnant and don't have another baby or have somebody to watch the kid they have at home, take advantage and try to go out at least once a week, just the two of you. Even if it's just like going on a walk and getting coffee, because very soon you're going to be a lot more limited in what you're able to do. Even if you're doing date night at home when you're doing this date night, but you're intentionally doing it. So you're making it a habit. Like it's a part of your week. You know that Tuesday night is date night. So then even once the baby comes, if something is a habit, it's easier to maintain and sustain than introducing a new habit. Because before we have a baby, date night ends up being a spontaneous thing. It's not as much a plan for most couples. But when you have a baby, if you're just doing it whenever you feel like it, it's not going to happen very often because the two of you are not always going to be in sync. Your schedule is not going to always be in sync. And if it's something that's a habit and something that's on the schedule, even if something like that comes up where like your kid got the flu and you're not going out, but because it's part of your routine, you're going to make sure to make it up. So being intentional about making those date nights happen so that it becomes a habit. And then building in connection habits. It's never too late to start building them in, but it's also never too early. Like whenever you're hearing this, start building in habits. One of my relationship habits with my husband is that when he takes our second daughter to school, we'll chat on the phone while he's driving after he drops her off, because that's a pocket in our day when we're both free and able to like fully hear each other out. Obviously, take safety into consideration, but finding those pockets of time when you can connect and making it a habit. So it's just something that just automatically happens, because it will then be much more likely to happen when things get busy.
I love those. Yeah, little routines. My husband and I always make sure to give each other a good night kiss before bed. Like that's the one thing. Or dinner. We always have family dinners because it's a time where we can engage with one another, and our son is there and he gets to be part of the day. So, or both of our days.
So these are like called rituals of connection, and there could be daily rituals of connection. There could be weekly rituals of connection. So if that's like on Sunday is family day, or Saturday morning, you sit down and have your coffee while the kids play. So just building these different rituals into your lives so that it happens.
Yeah. And then, like you said, they become a routine, little routines. And then it's so much easier. It's kind of like brushing your teeth. Like,
exactly.
Although as a new mom, it's harder to find time for that. But at least when I came home with my son, it was like, oh my gosh, having to pick, do you brush your teeth or do you wash your face?
And then especially if you're dealing with nausea when you're pregnant, like sometimes you're like brushing your teeth and then like you need to throw up as you're doing it, because like it just makes you gag. So some moms take a break, but you still think about it. And it's still like something that catches your eye every morning on the bathroom counter. You're like, oh, like, can I brush my teeth? Or is that going to make me nauseous right now? So it's still something you think about because it's so much of a habit and so much of a routine. And then once things settle down a little bit, you go right back into it. And then our brains have these pathways where when we do something, every single time we do it, it connects neurons and there's these neural pathways. So if we create a connection, then the more we do it, the stronger that connection becomes and the more likely that thing will happen.
Hey mamas, are you someone who's 35 plus and struggled with fertility, endured a miscarriage, experienced heartbreaking fostering or adoption challenges, or were perhaps flat out told by a doctor that you will never conceive naturally, and despite the odds, eventually found your happy ending by becoming a mama? Join us as we lean in advanced maternal age topics like geriatric celebrity mamas and how they conceived, birth stories, experiencing loss, finding mom friends in your 40s, being a mompreneur, and all the things our listeners want us to share. So find us, Geriatric Mamas, on your favorite podcast platform. Tune in and send us your journey to advanced maternal age motherhood. We would love to feature your story on a future Geriatric Mamas episode.
That neural pathway is still there. It just becomes somewhat more like deactivated, let's say. But then the second you start doing it, you like reopen that highway. That highway is open for business again. You're not suddenly constructing a new highway. You're reopening that highway that is there. So it's going to be easier to do than something that was never a habit to begin with.
The busier you are, it's so much harder to just start adding so many habits or new routines. So adding one little one, something as simple as you said, like just writing a little on that shared notepad, like, hey, I really love that you make me my coffee every morning, or makes it just easier to create those habits. I did have a question from a listener about date night ideas. What are some fun date night ideas for, and this could be for new parents or parents that just now went from one to two, that would be easy to do, easy to plan?
Yeah. So at-home date nights can be new parents' best friends. Some moms just like, you want to get out. And sometimes we'll have that desire to like get dressed and just leave the house. My husband and I really enjoyed when our baby was a baby, it was like going out for a lunch date during the baby's nap. And then the baby's like sleeping in the car seat on the side while you guys can enjoy your brunch or lunch and have a conversation, and the baby's asleep. So you don't need to get a babysitter and they're with you. If your kids are in school or you have a nanny or a sitter, especially let's say on a holiday when you don't have work. So having that day date when you're more awake and you're not tired at the end of a long day and you still have your energy, because we wake up in the day with like a certain tank of energy in us. And then every time we're, you know, busy doing things, we are using up energy. So when we do a date night, sometimes we come into it more tired than we'd like to be and less alert than we'd like to be. So having a date day, if you can, like if you have a day off of work, if it's a holiday and you have somebody to watch the kids, and or you could take the baby along if you're doing something where the baby can sleep in the carriage, like I said, if you're doing brunch. So those are some ideas. And then there's at-home date nights can be really great too. So you could do an adults only dinner once the kids are asleep. We do that very often where we'll have a different dinner than the kids. So we're there when the kids are eating dinner, but then we have our own meal later on of something we like. Some families don't like doing that because they don't like to have like multiple dinners that they do. So it really depends on your own dynamic and what feels manageable and doable and enjoyable for you. These are just ideas. As with anything, like you take what works for you and just leave the rest. You don't have to do everything someone says. You have to figure out the system that works for you. And that's in general a really important lesson as a mom, where so many things are thrown at you in terms of like how you should run your household, how you should parent, how your relationship should be, how your life should be. There's always so many different things thrown at us. So you have to find something that's aligned with your needs, desires, wants, that feels good and authentic to you. The parenting stuff, you figure out how you want to raise your home, how you want to raise your kids, and how you want to work as a unit. And you don't have to feel guilty that you're not doing the exact things that this or that person said. It's important to be in tune to what you need, what your child needs, and that you are giving your child a healthy, safe space. So same thing for your relationship. Some ideas I give might work amazing for you. Some might not be the thing that works for you, but it could get your wheels turning of what you could do that would work for you. That's important to accept in life, that like we don't need to do everything the way some person said that it should be done. We have to figure out the system that works. And having, let's say, that adult dinner was one idea. Doing, let's say, a paint night can be fun, where you just get random, like get easels, get some canvas, get some paint. You could just do your own thing, or you can even put on like a YouTube tutorial of a paint class. And then it's just fun seeing how the same paint class, your paintings come out so different because you're just two different people. And that's, you know, a good lesson for relationships of why they take work, because even when we're given the same direction, things will come out differently because we bring our own uniqueness into it. And so in relationships, as much as we love each other and we're a couple, we have our own unique experiences and ideas and backgrounds. And so we figure out how to mesh them, and you put them two together. When you have these two paintings and you put them near each other, they complement each other, even though they look different. And so in our relationships, we aspire to complement each other with our sameness and with our difference. Having a game night, if you like board games, or just sitting and having a drink together, like putting on some fun music you like, watching like oldies music videos that from like when you were both teenagers can be really fun. We've done that sometimes, and it's like fun. It takes you down memory lane. And you also then end up like seeing things that, let's say, you each liked in the stages of life when you didn't know each other. Having some people like doing like trade-offs with friends, where they'll have like a friend babysit, and then they go out and they'll babysit for that friend. Or you can have, let's say, a joint date night like at somebody's house, and then you switch off whose house it's at because different people have to get babysitters each time. So that's more of like you want an outing with friends. And it's just getting creative. You could just have a theme night where, let's say, you want to make a cuisine from a certain place, making a menu, making it together. That's fun. And then sitting and eating it together. You could do, let's say, putting out different ingredients and seeing who can make a more interesting combination of a food. There's really lots of ideas on Pinterest, on my Instagram page. I have some ideas on different posts. So you can get creative. The point is that you want to have meaningful, intentional time to connect. So it doesn't matter what you're doing or where you're doing it. It's that you're giving each other your time and energy and attention and focus and being there, like not distracted. So you want phones off limits for this. If you're going out of the house and have a babysitter, then one of you, the person who the babysitter is told to contact if something happens, leave your phone on the table face up, but don't pick it up throughout the night. If you see a notification flash and if it's not the babysitter, like don't look at it for another second. So fully being there, fully present with each other and intentionally and meaningfully connecting.
A few things that you said really resonated with me. One, day dates, that's what we do. We just don't have the energy. So we're always like, one, no one's really out in the middle of the day as much as they are at night. And
you don't have to wait in line by restaurants, even if they're super popular.
Yes. And then you just get to enjoy the beautiful weather. And two, a lot of your ideas just kind of made me think of a lot of what we did during COVID, where you had to get creative and like, what can we do at home? That like we did the painting, we did cocktail making classes, we did salsa dancing. So there's so many
there's
things
so
that
many
you
yeah
can
there's
do.
So many classes online nowadays, especially since COVID, there's even more. And somebody even like sent in to me, there's this company that like sends you stuff for an escape room to make in your house. There's all these ways of like getting really creative. If it's not enjoyable for you or like enough for you to just sit together and have like a drink together at home or sit over coffee or sit over dinner and you need something that's a little bit more exciting, there's so many options nowadays.
Yes. Well, finally, my last question. Do you have any other tips, suggestions, or recommendations for anyone out there listening that just needs a little bit of guidance with their relationship now that they have a little one?
Focus on the small things. Relationships are built in the everyday moments. It's not about making sure that you have this extravagant date night. It's not about making sure that your anniversary is the most perfect event to ever exist. I know myself, like sometimes my anniversary was one of the hardest times if like I had a baby right around my anniversary. And just because my anniversary night wasn't some magical night because it just didn't work out at that like stage of life, that doesn't mean my relationship isn't the most beautiful thing for me, because that's not where my relationship is. It's not about how we celebrate our anniversary. It's in the everyday moments. It's in how we say good morning and how we connect from the moment we wake up till the moment we go to sleep, that we care about each other, that we respect each other, that we intentionally do things that we know the other person will appreciate or enjoy, or are intentional to not do something that we know might hurt them or be offensive to them or whatever, because we have things that we're sensitive about, right? Everybody has their triggers. So how do you feel when your partner is sensitive to the things that trigger you and tries to do the things that make you feel appreciated and loved? Do the same for them. And relationships have points where one of you is pulling more weight than the other, and that's normal. You're not always going to be pulling the same weight. The hope is that it's not the same person who's constantly pulling the more weight. And if you're feeling like your relationship is in that place, have a conversation about it. Don't just be upset, because if we don't have a proper conversation about it, then nothing's going to change. And then if you do need to have a conversation about it, don't make passive aggressive comments every single time you're frustrated and annoyed. Actually sit down at a time when you're both able to have a caring, open conversation. So we don't want to have these conversations when we're overtired, which that's a hard bargain when we have little babies. So it's not that you're never tired. Just definitely don't do it at a time when you're overtired after a really hard weekend. Try to find a time when you're like, your baseline's at the higher end of where your baseline is these days. So be in tune to that. Make sure that you're not hungry, you're not extra tired, you're not in a rush to go somewhere. Those are not the times to have like these conversations, because you're going to feel pressured. You might say things you'd rather not say, or say it in a way that you didn't mean to say it. And then you don't have the time to talk it out. So make sure to be intentional about the setting of this conversation, that you're setting it up for success, so to speak, because the first few minutes of a conversation determine the outcome of a conversation. How the conversation starts will give us a lot of insight into how it ends. So if you're starting the conversation on an annoyed note, on a note of just wanting to vent as opposed to actually trying to work things out, it's not typically not going to end up doing anything productive or constructive for your relationship. You want to come into it not looking at it as here's everything you're doing wrong. You want to come into this relationship as, I care about you. I know that you care about me. we're not really expressing that care well lately. So why is that? What's going on? And how can we fix that together to get this relationship to where we want it to be? Because like we said in the beginning of this conversation, you did love each other once upon a time. You did care about each other. You chose to start a family together. There's obviously some relationships that start for different reasons where maybe the couple didn't feel in love right away. And so those are going to have different challenges. But if you're a couple who started your relationship choosing to be with each other because you loved each other and you wanted to build a life together, then you owe it to yourselves to put in that work and time to find your way back to each other. And if there's other factors in your relationship like abuse or addiction, then that is different. You definitely, definitely need professional help in those cases, and you need support in those cases. But if everything else is okay and you're not struggling with those kinds of things, then you owe it to yourselves to try as much as you can to find your way back to each other and feel that love that you once felt, because you can.
I love that. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking time. I feel like a lot of what you said just kind of made me reminisce and think back on like, oh yeah, I remember that time, or I did. Yeah, I remember. I kind of think about like how we have developed our relationship and how it's evolved now with an almost 2-year-old. So I feel like this is just going to be such a great episode for any mamas out there listening. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me. And I know you're going to share some places where people can find me, but I should have said this in the beginning with the struggles. One of the special resources I have is a quiz to figure out which area of your relationship is struggling the most. And then it links to some different blog posts to help you with that specific area, giving you tips. So the link for that is loveafterbaby.com/quiz. And it's helpful as you're going through it to kind of get insight into what you're struggling with, and then to also get support around that area.
I will have everything linked in the show notes, including how to people can reach out to you through Instagram or your website. So thank you so much.
Yes, thank you again for having me.
Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for our next episode. You can find us on Instagram for more updates and tips. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts and give us a review if you like us.